As we begin, I want to ask you a question and ask you to reflect on it. No, don't have to worry about raising your hands or anything like that. But I want you to think back with me to when you were maybe in middle school or high school, college age, when you were a young person. And some of you will have to think back further than others, and some of you are living in that stage of life right now. But I want you to think back to that time, and I want you to recall, was there ever an occasion when you, as a young person, came across someone who was maybe complaining about your generation? The young people these days, right? Did you ever come across that as a young person? I feel like that's probably a pretty universal experience, as that has been happening throughout history. The generation before says, oh, this generation, the young people these days. Maybe you even had someone kind of say something like that to your face and then attempt to give you advice immediately following that. And that probably went over really well, right? So with that being said, I think that to most is probably a fairly universal experience. And so with that in mind, as we bring a lesson about young people this evening, I want you to know that I'm not implying that there is anything wrong with young people. The opposite, actually. I want to say it pretty clearly, that there's something wrong with us young people. And I want to talk about what that is, except that I don't think that it's probably what many would expect. And so that's what I want to spend our time on this evening, is asking, what is wrong with young people? And I think the answer may surprise you. And so we're going to talk about some things that maybe are some misconceptions about what is wrong with young people. We're going to look to the scriptures for wisdom. And then I'm going to offer you what I think the problem is and explain that. But before we get into it, will you pray with me? Our good and holy God, as we come before you now and we open up your word, we seek your wisdom. We pray that you will give us minds that are open, God, that we would learn and that we would understand your word. But God, especially that we would have open hearts, and that we would come before your word, humbly, God, ready to be changed, so that we can be better followers of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for loving us through him, and we pray this in his name. Amen. So what is wrong with young people? Well, for something to be characteristically a problem of youth, it needs to some extent to be unique to young people and not to older people, right? So some may say there are a lot of fools among young people, but there are also a good number of fools amongst people of all ages. Some might say that there are a lot of young people that are really irresponsible. And yeah, that's probably true, but there are lots of people of all ages that are irresponsible, right? And so I don't think from the outset that young people are on the verge of wrecking their lives any more uniquely than anyone else is. That today's generation isn't facing a swifter path to destruction than any other generation has before. It just looks different than it has in the past. So I'd like for us to consider the scriptures. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, your Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. It's not one that we go to very frequently. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 is where we'll be. And in 2 Chronicles 14, we are introduced to a king named Asa, a young king of Judah named Asa. And as a young king, Asa is a good king. He trusts in God. And we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and beginning in verse 8, we read this about Asa. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah bearing large shields and spears, 280,000 from Benjamin bearing regular shields and drawing the bow. And all these were valiant warriors. Then Zerah, the Cushite, came against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And they came as far as Marashah. So Asa marched out against him and lined up in battle formation in the Zarephath Valley at Marashah. So here we find Asa with his army of just shy of 600,000 men coming against the king of the Cushites, who has almost double that, and 300 chariots to boot. And so things do not look good. Almost double Asa's army is facing him. Then continue, look what Asa does. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "Lord, there is no one besides you to help the mighty and those without strength. Help us, Lord our God, for we depend on you, and in your name we have come against this large army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let a mere mortal hinder you. So the Lord routed the Cushites before Asa and before Judah, and the Cushites fled. So we see here Asa as a young king comes before God, and he trusts in God, and God delivers him. And then God sends prophets in the chapter following, in chapter 15, to tell Asa what to do, how to better follow God, and he listens. And he begins these reforms in Judah, and things begin to get better as he's bringing people back to worshiping God as a young king. And then in the next chapter, in 16, as a much older king, Asa faces a much smaller army compared to the one of the Cushites. And he thinks that he can handle this one on his own, with his own allies, instead of God. And this time, when God's prophet comes along to tell him that this is foolish, instead of listening, he throws him in jail. And then Asa is struck with a disease by God and dies. We'll turn over just a few pages to chapter 24 in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 24, where we meet a young king by the name of Joash, who seeks the Lord as a young king. But when he is older, he turns to idols and begins to abandon God. And again, God sends a prophet to address this situation. Look, beginning in verse 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, beginning in verse 20. The Spirit of God enveloped Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "This is what God says, why are you transgressing the Lord's commands so that you do not prosper? Because you have abandoned the Lord. He has abandoned you." But they conspired against him and stoned him at the king's command in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash did not remember the kindness that Zechariah's father, Jehoiada, had extended to him, but killed his son. And while he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and demand an account." So this time, the prophet of the priest here comes with his message, and just like Asa, Joash doesn't like it. But instead of throwing him in prison, Joash has this man of God killed. Well, then just another couple chapters later in chapter 26, same thing. Maybe you can guess the pattern here. King Uzziah seeks the Lord as a young king. But when he is older, he becomes arrogant. And he wants to become a priest in addition to being a king. And so God strikes him with leprosy and he dies. Now, I don't say these things to try and convince you that young people are actually good and older people are the problem. That's not the point. That would be foolish. Please don't misunderstand. But I have us look at these examples because I want us to see that for everyone like Jacob in the book of Genesis, who was a foolish rebel as a young man and then turns to God in his old age, there's also someone like his son Joseph, who is faithful to God as a teenager in really difficult circumstances. That for every Moses who's called to be a prophet when he's 80 years old, there's someone like Jeremiah, who's called to be a prophet when he's roughly college age, 18 to 20, 21 years old. Or in the book of Job, for every young man like Elihu who thinks he knows better than Job, there are Job's three older friends who are equally as foolish. For every rich young ruler that walks away from Jesus, there's a group of self-righteous elders that are plotting to kill him. And so my point in sharing this biblical evidence is that sin is a problem that affects all people of all ages. And it seems to me that the Bible shows us that young people aren't affected by sin any more uniquely than anyone else of any other age group. But I still haven't told you, I still haven't answered the question, because I told you at the very beginning, there's something wrong with us young people. There is. So let me offer you some ideas that maybe some others have. Read this with me. "I see no hope for the future of our people if they are dependent on the frivolous youth of today. For certainly all young people are reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be respectful of our elders, but the young people today are nothing but disrespectful and unrestrained." That was said by Hesiod in the 8th century BC. 700 to 800 years before Jesus walks the earth. A long, long time ago. Consider another one with me. "Young people think too highly of themselves. The world is passing through troublous times." That's the next one. "The world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or their elders. They have no restraint. They talk as if they know everything. And what we call wisdom, they call foolishness. Even the girls, they are forward and modest and unladylike in speech, behavior, and dress." This was from a sermon preached by Peter the Hermit in 1274 AD, 800 years ago almost. Even Aristotle in the 4th century BC, 400 years before Jesus. "Young people think too highly of themselves. Their optimism makes them think they can do anything that they want. They would rather do deeds for attention than useful deeds. Their lives are guided more by feeling than by reasoning. And all their mistakes have this in common. They overdo everything. They love too much, they hate too much, and the same with everything else. So we consider a quote here from 800 years ago, 2300 years ago, 2700 years ago. And I think all that it illustrates is something that the Bible taught us well before these things were even said in the book of Ecclesiastes. That there's nothing new under the sun. That what goes around comes around. That this isn't a new phenomenon. That historically, literally for thousands of years, the generation before has been saying about the generations that follow, I just don't know about these young people. I just don't know about these young people. We've seen it happen. You've seen behind me just a few examples of many. And so it seems to me that maybe it is a little bit silly to compare one generation to another as if they're really that much different in their youth. James Baldwin, a famous African-American author, he was famous for speaking out against oppression and injustice in decades past, and he said this, "Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them." And again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say that the previous generations are the problem or older people are the problem. We're going to get to that in just a second. And we're going to see that the wisdom of the elders is of the utmost importance. But I do simply want us to see how the problem of sin is not unique to any certain type of people. No certain ethnicity or nationality or age or gender. Sin affects us all. No more uniquely than it does someone else. And so that leads me to tell you what I think is wrong with young people today. What is wrong with young people? Tom Hamilton, who is one of my Bible teachers at Florida College some years ago, is actually the one who told me this and kind of inspired this lesson. And he said this is an exact quote, but this is roughly I remember him saying. He says, "It seems to me that there is only one weakness that is truly unique to young people. You cannot find it in any older people. In fact, you will only find it in young people, and you will find it in every young person. To put it simply, young people are young. No old people are young. That may not be what they tell you if you ask them, but that's the reality, right? And it's truly something that's unique to young people. And so saying that this is what's wrong with young people is harsh. It's just to get your attention. But the idea is that young people, we are inexperienced. We are. This is the one weakness about us that is truly unique to us, is that we're young. And we lack experience. We don't know. There are so many that have come before us that just have more wisdom, that just know better than we do. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 says this, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is gray hair." The author uses this imagery in this passage, this phrase, to communicate the wisdom and knowledge which is a blessing that comes with the passage of time, a blessing that comes with age. That as you grow older, as you acquire experience, you acquire wisdom, and that is a blessing from God. And so there are two ways, really, to acquire experience and wisdom in this life. And the first is kind of inevitable. You live your life, and the school of hard knocks will teach us the lessons that we refuse to learn any other way. This is the more difficult route, not the preferred route, but it is a way to gain experience and wisdom. The reality is that the longer someone lives, the more experience they inevitably acquire. And ideally, as a result, the more wisdom that they acquire. But the second way, which is the preferred way, is the biblical way of wisdom. And it is to learn from your elders, to learn from the mistakes of others, to listen to the people that have walked the path before you, and they know which ways are wiser. They know which shortcuts work and which ones don't, so to speak, right? They know how things work better than people who haven't lived as long do. And that's the reality. So let me offer this encouragement for all of us of all ages. That let's take part in this way of biblical wisdom, in this second route of gaining experience, because it requires both generations for it to function. When I was young, when I was a kid, I'll share this with you. Something that my parents did that I appreciate. They were by no means perfect, but they were good parents. And something that they did that I'm glad they did was when we were young, when we were kids, when we came to church, when we assembled together, before we were allowed to leave the building and go run around with our friends or do whatever it is that we wanted to do, they told us we had to pick somebody who was going to be our buddy. And this buddy had to be able to get the senior discount at Jack's, that's what we'll say. And we had to go before we left the building and talk to them and have a conversation with them every Sunday morning, evening, Wednesday. And it began as sort of a requirement. We had to go and talk to them, have a conversation with this same person 3 times a week, roughly. And what began as a requirement before we could go play outside quickly became something that we wanted to do as we developed a relationship with these people. My buddies was an older couple, a man that used to be an elder at our church for a long time. Their names were Alex and Gloria. And for years, I went up to them after services and just talked to them. And they just asked me about my life and the things that I wanted to do. And they just genuinely cared and built a relationship with me as I came to talk to them each worship service. And as time went on, what began as just, you know, how was your soccer game yesterday on Saturday, quickly became life advice and sharing of wisdom and a wonderful relationship that I am so grateful for to this day. They bought me kind of one of my first big grown-up Bibles after I got baptized. And they were good, good people. Alex passed away when I was in middle school, and Miss Gloria is still alive, and I love to hug her neck when I come home. And they are good, good people. And so I don't say this to try and pressure the young parents to do what my parents did. I don't know anything about parenting. You know your kids better than I do. Do what's best for them. But simply to share this story to encourage young people here, whether younger people particularly that are old enough to make kind of your own decisions, is who I'm talking to now, to encourage you to go out of your way and talk to some of the older people here. Talk to the people that have more experience and more wisdom than you, and build a relationship with them. And even to our younger adults and younger couples with kids or without kids, this kind of applies to all of us. Don't just stick to your peer group. Because I think it's a phrase that's been said, maybe Jim has said it before or I've heard it somewhere else, but the idea of all the people of the same kind of age group, especially young people, is kind of like pooling ignorance. And so we would learn a lot more if we had relationships that were built across generational lines. And that is what God intends for us. I think we see that all throughout the wisdom literature of the Bible, that God is telling us, please seek the wisdom of the people that have walked the paths before you. Learn what they have to offer. And so pick somebody and go talk to them and build a relationship with them and get to know them. And I bet you the next time that you talk to them, it'll lead to a longer conversation. And then maybe to a phone call in the middle of the week or maybe getting together outside of when we gather here. And it'll end up becoming a wonderful relationship that you will learn valuable things about. You will learn how to better walk the path of faith from people who have walked it before you. And to our more experienced members, because like I said, this requires both for it to function, the older generations and the younger generations, the same applies to you. Go out of your way to talk to some of the younger people here. Go out of your way to try and build a relationship with them, to talk to them. And when I tell you to talk to them, I don't mean just go and start trying to give them advice or corner them and just try and tell them the things that you know. But ask them about their life, what their aspirations are, what they like to do. Build a relationship with them. Invest in them. And the time for offering your wisdom and advice will come naturally. And they will be a whole lot more likely to care about how much you know when they know how much you care. And so my encouragement to us is to let's do that. Let's build relationships across generational lines. Let's participate in this biblical way of passing down wisdom. Because what Satan wants to do is to take whatever our differences are and use them to divide us. He wants the older people to go, oh, the young people these days. And he wants the younger people to point their nose up and say, they just don't get it. They just don't understand. That's what he is longing for, because he wants to tear us apart. He wants to use any difference we have to do that. We see the New Testament is fraught, especially Paul's letters, with trying to handle the problems between the Jews and the Gentiles, two ethnic groups of people that were very different and that were at odds with each other for a long time. And Satan wanted to use that to tear the church apart, to hurt God's people. And we see the apostles and the authors of the New Testament trying to help with that problem, trying to stop Satan from using differences among God's people to tear them apart. And so, he will try to do the same with our ages, or with our genders or ethnicities or whatever our differences may be. He will use them to try and cause division and tear us apart. And we can't let him do that. Because he knows that if we do build these relationships across generational lines, and that we become close with one another, not just with people our age, and we truly love each other and invest in each other and share the wisdom that God has blessed us with, then he doesn't stand a chance. Because he knows God's way works. And so, if we want to keep him from causing those kinds of problems in Christ's body, in the Lord's church, then we need to commit ourselves to building relationships with people that are different than us. And in particular, like we've talked about this evening, people that are different ages than us. Young people, let's seek out the wisdom of those who have walked the path of faith before us. And to our more experienced members, build relationships with the younger people. Love them and share that wisdom with them. Because boy, do we need it. Because like I said, I don't think that the young people of this generation are any more swiftly on the path to destruction than any other generation has been. But every generation does encounter situations that are different from generations past. It manifests itself in different ways. And we don't know what to do with it. We've never walked this road before. And we need your help. So please, let's participate in this way of wisdom. I hope this has been an encouragement to you and a blessing to you to pursue those kind of relationships, because they've been a blessing in my life, like with Alex and Gloria and with many others, and they have the potential to be in all of ours too. And it will only make us a stronger and more tight-knit family in the name of Christ. And that is what I want for us, and that is what God wants for us. So, with that being said, with that encouragement, and hopefully this blessing of this lesson being given to you, we want to, is our custom, to extend an invitation. And if you have not yet become a part of this family that is seeking to be close-knit and love each other in the name of Christ, you've not yet been baptized and had your sins washed away and become a part of the body of Christ, and you have questions about that, then we want to answer those. Or if you're ready to become a Christian, then we'd love for you to walk down to the front and let's do that. Or maybe you're struggling with your faith and you need help. You need the prayers of this church family, then we'd like to help with that too. Whatever it is, if you know what you need to do, please walk down to the front. If you have questions, please find me or find us in the back and we'd be happy to talk about it. But with that being said, let's stand and let's sing together.